Hello, everybody, and welcome to Forever Ever. I'm your host, James.
And this is Angie.
And we are going to be taking you on a trip to relationship longevity. So what is this podcast going to be focused on mainly? So we started this podcast with the intention of speaking about the hard work that's needed in order to make a relationship work. So the hard work that it takes to establish a relationship, to build a relationship and build the foundation of it, and to maintain that relationship throughout time. Specifically with marriage, because we ended up getting married. It was a long relationship. And we did get married. So dealing with that and everything that has to do with life. Life is going to throw a lot of things at you. And if your relationship isn't sound, then chances are it may crumble apart. So getting into it, we are not here to tell you what to do. We have just been through a lot in our time together, and we feel that the information that we want to share are things that you can take and use to your advantage, pick and choose what you may, but we are not telling you the solution to have a long relationship. Ultimately, it comes down to your individual efforts in keeping that relationship going. So I guess we'll get into what actually made us do a podcast. What made us do a podcast, Angie?
Well, this was all your big and bright idea. I didn't know I was going to be part of it.
I guess it was, but I thought she would be good at it. The number one thing that I wanted to do a podcast for was to have fun, and I also saw it as an opportunity to increase our communication, because by trade, I am not one that likes to talk a lot. So I don't express my emotions or feelings that freely. So this is a little bit outside of my comfort zone with doing all of this talking, especially about, touchy subjects and things that are normally taboo or that other couples aren't willing to share with the outside world. So I thought this would be fun, and I thought this is another layer of growth for our relationship, and I thought it would actually be good as well as fun.
I think a lot of people are going to be surprised that we are actually doing this, because especially you, you're more quiet, and they know you as the quiet one, so they're going to be surprised. Our friends and family. As for me, I like to talk, but this is out of my comfort zone too. Even though it's just me and you talking in our living room here, I don't like public speaking. But knowing that this podcast would be open to the public, and we would be disclosing a lot of stuff that probably a lot of people, especially our family and friends, do not know at all, that kind of makes me nervous.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing that everyone has to realize is that you make your relationship or you make your marriage whatever you think it should be. It doesn't matter what anyone else perceives it to be. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks it should be. It's about you and your partner. They can't project what they want onto you. Now, another thing that we want to promote within this podcast is the ability to free think. Now, a lot of the subjects that we're going to talk about, we're conditioned to naturally go against it. We're going to talk about things like infidelity. We're going to talk about things like non-monogamy, hypothetical situations, things like that, that we are conditioned to say, no, it's not supposed to be that way, or no, that's not a good marriage. Now, we want to encourage you to use your own mind and think for yourself, why is that not true? Or why do people say that you can't do that? Now, is it because that they're scared to? Or is it because they've been told to? Have they really thought it out to think what actually makes it wrong? Because really, if you think about everything in a relationship, when it comes to infidelity, cheating, anything like that, is there is a lack of communication with that. With any relationship, you have agreed upon terms. Now, if any one of the partners decides to act outside of those agreed upon terms, then that's where the problem lies. So if you have agreed upon terms and an understanding, a mutual understanding with your partner, who's to tell you that what you're doing in your relationship is wrong for you? That's what we want to promote. We want everybody to sit here and think for themselves and find out what works for your relationship to make sure that you gain that longevity.
And also, I think that they don't necessarily have to take anything from our podcast. They can just be purely entertained by just listening to what we went through and just our personalities.
Yeah, we've gone through a lot, and it's made us stronger, that's for certain. There's a lot of funny things that happen. There's a lot of sad things. There's a lot of bad things.
Surprising things.
Yeah, so just so many things that have happened throughout our time together. So we're hoping that, you know, you guys would be able to enjoy our story, getting to know us. And it's going to be real freeing and liberating for us to just be able to just talk and just, I guess, have fun with everything that we've been through. Now, another reason why we wanted to start this podcast is because we have naturally been those people that our friends or people that we know come to for advice. Now, we never give it unsolicited. So most of the time, everyone is coming to us asking, hey, so if such and such did this, what would you do in that situation? And then, of course, I would just give my answer and they would just take it and use whatever that they need. Now, we've noticed that people may think that we are perfect, but we are not perfect. No one is perfect. The people that project that they are perfect are the ones that probably have the hugest problems and they don't want you to know about it. Now, we have never tried to come off as perfect. It's just that we are comfortable with each other. We've been together a long time. And when you've reached that level of comfort, then there's nothing that can really shake you or get you off of your plans and where you guys want to be in your lives. So when people see us, they understand that we're comfortable with each other. We're secure with each other. We're not concerned about, you know, each other doing anything else or straying or leaving, because we know each other inside and out.
But it took a long time.
It took a long time.
And we're still learning.
Yes. It's an ongoing process. Yes. There's a little bit about me with being an extroverted introvert. I like to stay to myself, and hence that's why I said speaking a lot about my feelings and what's going on inside my mind is outside of my comfort zone. So with Angie, it took a while for me to build up and actually tell her exactly who I am and express to her exactly who I am. And I feel like she is the only one that truly knows who I am. So the level of communication that we have, I can't have it with anyone else. So I appreciate that with her, 'cause she really, really holds the key to my heart, man, and just knows me inside.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, I know her. Yeah, sounds lovely, doesn't it?
Well, you know, we bring out the best in each other and we complement each other. So that's why we work, even though that, you know, we are really different from each other too in some ways, but that's just, we're able to just make it work, and that's why we're still together.
Yeah. You know, and I also like to think that if anyone's talking about relationships or any type of topic, you would want to have some type of credibility when you're speaking of it. I would like to say that we've reached a certain level of credibility if we've been together for multiple decades. I would think that that tends to make people think that we know a little bit about sticking together and what it takes to stay together and the work that it takes to stay together. So, you know, we're not just on here. We haven't been dating for 3 months and now we're going to tell everybody how they should be and everything like, no, this is years. This is decades together, growing with each other, learning together, going through things together. So again, like I said, we're not telling you what to do, but we can tell you what we've done. And if you've done things that are similar to us, then that's good. You're probably together as long as we are then. So moving on. It is March 12th.
No,
March
now 12th. It's Friday the 13th. Ooh. March 13th.
Ooh, March
13th. Our first episode.
Yeah, our first episode.
On the 13th.
Now, originally we meant to do this because it was a special day that just passed on March 8th. What day was that, Angie?
It was our 20-year anniversary.
20-year anniversary of being together. Look at that. It's a long, long time.
It's an accomplishment.
It is an accomplishment, considering that we're only 36. So we've been together for more than our adult lives. And I could tell you that, like I said, it's been a ride, and we've been through a lot. So why don't you tell everybody how we met?
So we went to middle school together.
We did.
We met in sixth grade. We had one class together. I think it was language arts, right?
It was.
With
yes.
Mrs. Barton.
Yep.
But, you know, we didn't really talk. We had the same mutual friends. And you were really quiet in middle school. And I was quiet too.
I'm still quiet now.
Yeah. So we met in sixth grade. Seventh grade, we decided to date. I'm not sure how that even happened.
And let me tell you this. Now, I liked Angie since sixth grade. So I saw her in that classroom, and it was love at first sight. I loved
her.
And she doesn't believe me. I loved Angie.
But of course, he never said anything, so I never knew about that.
And that's because I was shy, and I didn't talk. But I loved Angie since the moment that I saw her. But you can only imagine how I felt when I'm watching Angie talk to every other guy except me in that classroom. And I watched and I saw her make a connection with one particular guy. And I sat there and always thought to myself, why?
So this guy had a crush on.
Why? It made no sense to me.
Well, but he talked to me and you didn't.
Well, I mean, still, I mean, you can look my way.
All you
way.
Did was just sit there and stare. Kind of creepy.
No, I didn't stare. I wasn't staring. I looked at you and I was aware that you were there. I was never actually staring at you. But anyway, I liked Angie since sixth grade. So continue with your story, Angie.
Okay, so then seventh grade, we decided to date, but I don't even know how that came about. I don't remember. But
I think it was somebody saying that I liked you.
Wait, was it seventh grade? No, it was eighth grade.
It was eighth grade.
I'm sorry.
No, there was a gap in between. It was a lot of.
So before then, see, I don't even remember.
It's terrible.
So, no, we had dated, or I don't even know if you would call it dating, because this is middle school. Like, who counts
that? It was dating.
So we both dated other people here and there. And then eighth grade, I had learned that you liked me.
Finally.
And then, okay, so now it's all coming back to me. So I think we were getting ready to go home, and I was at my locker. Do you remember this? This is bringing back memories.
I vaguely remember this.
At my locker getting ready to go home, you know, packing stuff, putting things in my backpack, and I remember you stopping by my locker and asking me if you wanted to go to Enchanted Castle.
That was eighth grade.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't remember that?
I remember Enchanted Castle. I didn't know
it was. But then I don't know if that's when we started dating. But we went to Enchanted Castle with like your friends and my friends. And I remember taking pictures in the photo booth.
Okay, I remember that.
And then I think that's where we, is that where we that first kissed?
That was the first kiss. I remember that one. Yeah.
But I'm pretty bummed because that picture, the pictures that the photo booth took, I don't know where that is.
She forgot. I threw them away.
Why?
Because they were awkward.
Really?
Yes.
How were they awkward?
So bad.
Did they just like?
I don't think you even remember.
I don't even remember the kiss at all. I just know that we
bumped teeth.
What?
Yes, we bumped teeth during that kiss, and then we were laughing inside the photo booth. So then the pictures came out with us like kind of like laughing and weird about it. So after I got it, I saw it, and you wanted to see it. And I was
that. We were right, outside the photo booth.
See, yep. And I was just like, nope, I don't. I don't know where it went. I don't. So I ditched those photos.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
You know, our first photos together are in
you
the
threw
garbage
away.
Somewhere.
Damn
yep.
it.
That's all right. Mental picture. I remember that vividly now.
I don't even think I saw the pictures at all.
No, you didn't. I did. So that was enough.
So we dated for 3 weeks, but like I think the only other place that we went to was I'm thinking about the roller rink, but I don't know if that's when we were dating.
We weren't there together.
Okay. So we, 3 weeks, I think we didn't even go out anywhere else and we hardly talked.
Nope.
And so I don't remember why I broke up with you. I think it had to do with someone telling me that you liked somebody else.
I do. It was he say, she say, and it was she say to you.
And I listened to this supposed friend of mine about something with you liking someone else. I'm not sure what it was about, but I do clearly remember. Again, it was on our way out the door at the end of the day. And I stopped by your locker this time, and I think I just told you I don't think it's working out.
Yeah, and I remember that because I was mad.
Yeah, I think it was right in front of your friend too.
Yep. I was mad.
Because you didn't see it coming. So this was only after 3 weeks. So
yeah.
I didn't think it was a big deal, right?
No, she didn't think it was a big deal. I did.
It broke his heart.
Yeah. Now, she forgot that I liked her since sixth grade. So then when I finally got a chance to actually date her and then to have it end on a humbug.
But then, you didn't even say anything. You just nodded your head. I think you didn't.
No,
like, you didn't fight for me.
No, I didn't fight because this
you're mad.
Yes, and this is true to who I am right now. If I think that something is foolish, I'm not even going to put any effort towards it. So the fact is that when you told me the reason why you were breaking up with me, and I heard that, I just said okay. All right, because that's stupid. And then afterwards, you went on to track practice, and I was outside. I was just venting to my friends.
Were you?
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. Because I said, that's the dumbest thing ever. How in the world can she believe that?
But you let me go.
I don't know. It's just, I guess it's
an ego thing. But I guess it worked out, because then we didn't talk, I think, really anymore for the rest of the year. Even though we did have, again, mutual friends, we hung out, but didn't really pay attention to each other. And then freshman year in high school, is this where you left flowers and a mixed love tape in my locker?
It was. This was during the days of mixtapes. Mixed CDs, actually. So we graduated from tapes onto CDs. So it was a mix.
No, it was a tape. I still have it.
Wait, I made a tape?
Yeah, you did. It's in.
But this was like 1999.
It was
freshman year, 1999.
Yeah, it was a tape though. I'll show it to
we
you.
We still had cassette tapes.
Yeah, because I remember recording stuff in high school.
I stand corrected.
On tape.
I stand corrected.
Yeah. So no, I think you left flowers and a mixtape. But then I don't even know how that started again. But we dated for 3 months this time. So first it was 3 weeks, and now freshman year was 3 months. And then now instead of me breaking up with you, because I honestly don't remember what we did within those 3 months, do you? I think it was just like, what, did we just hold hands in school, if anything?
Yep. A lot of PDA in the hallways. Yeah.
So then I remember you breaking up with me before an English class that I had with two of your good friends, because they had to pretty much console me because you, I don't know if you broke up with me in a letter or I can't remember, but it was right before class. I was devastated. I didn't see it coming at all. I was bawling my eyes out in class, and your friend like felt, I think they both just didn't know what to say. And I'm just crying in class trying to keep it together. And
yeah,
it like was they would hand me tissues and I'm like, oh my God. But why don't you tell why you broke up with me? It was pretty fucked up.
Well,
do you remember?
I mean, yeah. So yeah, you had a friend that really was
a best friend at the time,
which was really a frenemy. So
I guess, yeah.
I mean,
we're no longer friends anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, young boys, you know,
hormones, the opportunity.
Right. Hormones are racing and, you know, you got this new interest coming your way and, you know, hey, you know, that's basically what happened. So,
I had strict parents. Get detailed on why. So yeah. I had strict parents.
Yeah.
But, I wasn't really allowed to go anywhere.
That really wasn't it though. Like I wasn't looking for like a easy or fast girl.
It was something different. Go out with her because I don't think we went anywhere.
The going out part, that's all right. But I'm saying it, the difference between your personalities and your set of values is night and day. So it wasn't like I was looking for a
better girl.
Not better, but easier girl. I wasn't looking for that. It's just that, you know, yeah, the opportunity came around. Yeah, she could hang out and go out and everything like that. She was showing interest towards me. You get caught up in that. And of course during that time and, you know, that age, brain hasn't developed, maturity hasn't sunk in, wisdom hasn't, you know, came in at all as well.
He wasn't thinking with his brain. Exactly. He was thinking with his
other
organ.
Right. So, you know, that's what happened. So I just made that swap and went about it abruptly.
Yep.
Wrote a pretty garbage letter to her and really didn't think about the aftermath of her reading it. So I did hear about her just breaking down in class. And it being a really, really big thing where, you know, my friends were even saying like, dude, what the hell did you do?
That's messed up.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, and at the time there was really like, I knew I probably shouldn't have done it, but then I was just caught up in, you know, what was new and what was going on. So,
how'd that work for you?
So,
how long did you even last?
I don't even know. I don't even think it was actually an official thing. It was almost like we were just kind of hanging out and, I don't know, kicking it or something. I don't know. But yeah, we would just always go out with her older friends because they could drive. And, you know, we would just cruise around and really
not. So they were more fun.
It was just not even. It was just the fact that it was just no parental, you know, oversight.
Yeah, she was very loose and didn't have, she had more freedom than I did.
That is true. But then, like I said, I wasn't looking to take advantage of that. It was a bonus within it if I were to utilize it, which I never did.
I don't remember.
Not like
that'll be another episode.
Not like that though. Yeah, it's another episode.
We know everything about each other.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, like I said, I wasn't trying to get anyone better or anything like that. It was really just opportunity and just hormones racing. That's it. So that ended our freshman streak.
Yeah. So 3 months. So then now sophomore year, I was dating or whatever you want to call it. So, okay, I'm a sophomore. So then this guy that I was dating, not James, was, I think, in eighth grade. Not sure what I saw in him.
So she was a cougar.
Not sure what I saw in him because he was a family friend who I developed a crush on. And I think maybe he was just a rebound because I remember being really just devastated by James breaking up with me. And he happened to come over and I thought it was cute. He liked me. And then that's how it started. But he lived like a half an hour away, so we hardly saw each other. We dated for about 9 months. And then James and I were both in band. And so we all went on a band trip down to Disney World in Florida. So at this time, I'm still dating this eighth grader. But then right before we went down to Florida, I hear from his... Was it your best friend?
No. She forgets
this. Oh, no, yes. From my frenemy.
There you go. Right?
Yep. But why would you tell her?
I don't even know.
And I don't even know why I was still talking to her then, because I thought we weren't even friends anymore. Either.
But yeah, I thought that we were friends like after we had ended our little thing. And I don't even
know.
So really
she was playing both sides then, because then she was talking to both me and you.
Yeah.
So anyway, so she had told me that James was going to try to make a move on me when we were down in Florida. And I was like, oh no, like I'm dating someone. Like how dare he even try to do that?
She straight up came to me in the hallway.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I called you.
Oh, that's what it was.
Oh my God. See, look memory. At
that. Yeah. That Alzheimer's is kicking
So I don't even know what made me even do this. But I called his house. I remember your dad answering, and then I asked for you, and then I was like, oh, hey, I heard that you're going to try to get with me when we're down in Florida, and I'm dating somebody, and I think all you said was, oh, okay, like, don't even try, and I'm like, okay.
I think it was something to that extent.
Yeah. And then that was it. That was the conversation. Mm-hmm. So then that was that, and we went down to Florida, and right in the beginning, his best friend and my cousin and my best friend, we were all in band together. So for some reason, we were all in that coach bus, and you were sitting in the way last row, and you were asleep. And so I was a flirt when I was in high school, or just kind of had some wild thinking. But I, for some reason, said to his best friend that I wanted to kiss you just out of nowhere. And yeah. So you were sleeping in the back seat and we just happened to be in the same area. And so I just went and kissed you on the cheek while you were sleeping for whatever reason.
Yep.
So then I think your best friend told you that that had happened. And.
Yep. And then from that moment on, I said, it's on. Because I had already had my plan in place where I was gonna take her back from him. Like he was nobody to me. We had history. Okay. So I had a plan. Once we got down there, we were isolated. We were doing something that we both do. We're in band. This is our thing. Like we share common interests. So isolated. In a magical place, Disney World, of all places. Right. I knew I was going to take my opportunity and get her back and win her back. Because I knew that I could. It's that inner confidence that tells you to just go. And sure enough, I got her. I got her.
Right. So it started, I think you were sitting down in the bus and I sat by you, right?
You did.
I think. And then we were sitting next to each other and then you asked me a question, which is really sweet. Do you remember?
To a certain extent, I'm going to say it was either I held your hand and I asked you if you were okay with this.
Yeah.
Which when I look back at it, it's like the lamest thing to ever do.
But, you know, that's what got me. I thought that was so sweet. And obviously I let you hold my hand and we spent the whole time together hanging out with each other during our band trip in Florida. And that was very memorable.
Yeah, it was. It was.
And we have pictures to prove it. And we just looked at it since our anniversary just passed. So we're reminiscing in memories.
Yeah. And the memory that we also had was it wasn't over once we got back. Now, Angie told me that she was going to leave that guy and we were going to get back together. So that was down in Florida. By the time that we got back, so we live in Illinois, Angie had said that, you know what? I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know if I can leave him. And given the fact that, you know, this guy was, you know, not faithful to her, he had a whole bunch of sketchy stories about kissing his girlfriends, and that's a common thing that he does is kiss his, like, girlfriends, not girlfriends, but his friends that are girls, kissing them. And I'm just like, I don't know where he's from, but that's not kosher. So she was willing to, you know, kind of overlook that and say, you know what, I think I still may want to stay with him. So what did I do, Angie?
So after hearing that I was having second thoughts, then you wrote me this 3-page letter that we just read again because I kept all his letters.
We just read it, yes.
Which is funny, but basically he was really frustrated and pissed off that I would even, you know, get his hopes up and that I was thinking about staying with this guy and, you know, that he... Did you say you love me? Or
of course, I said I loved you. You understand this? I got so close. This was the cusp of just winning the championship, and now it was a buzzer beater that happened, and now I don't have the ring anymore. So that's what it felt like to me. I was livid.
So you wrote this note, and then I think you wanted me. There was a basketball game, and you had mentioned to me at school that I needed to give you an answer by meeting you at the game and telling you if I wanted to go ahead and start dating you. So sure enough, I met him at the basketball game, told him I wanted to be his girlfriend, and then we've been inseparable since.
Yep. And that's how it works.
So March 8th, 2000.
Yep.
It's easy to remember.
20 years ago.
So whatever year it is, that's how long we've been together.
A long, long, long time.
Without breaking up. But we've had so many close moments of breaking up.
in the earlier years, yes. Yeah. In the earlier years.
Right, of course.
Right.
I don't know.
In the earlier years. I mean, I don't know. Ouch. I wasn't going nowhere. So I don't know what you're talking about with that one, but... Yes. So moving on, we fast forward June 20th, 2009.
9 years after dating.
Yeah. So
it took him this long.
Well, we were in school, so I didn't feel like it was a point to getting engaged and getting married while we were still in college. So I wanted to wait until we were done, and then we can
move
forward.
Was that really the plan, or did you finally feel forced to propose?
No. It was really the plan. It just didn't make any sense. And we already, I mean, we were more than 5+ years in. Like, for me, like, if I'm putting in that much time, like, I'm not going nowhere because it would be pointless to just end it and break up. Like, that's just stupid to me. So, like, 9 years in, 8 years in, it's a given we're going to get there. But you didn't stop with the pressure of turning up because once you saw other friends getting married and engaged.
They've been together less than us.
Yeah, that is, yeah. And that's another, that's another story as well, too, for a later episode. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Because we are still going strong.
Right. That's true.
But yeah, she didn't turn down the pressure with engagement. And my story was, you know it's going to happen. You know we're getting married. Why are you stressing out about this? And it didn't stop. She just kept going. She just kept going.
Kept sending him pictures of rings that I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Christmas, it was what? Was it Christmas 2000 and was it seven?
Oh, gosh, I don't. Yeah,
seven or eight.
So.
Christmas 2007. So we have a family party. It was a Secret Santa party, big party at our parents' house.
It was, yeah, combination party. Right. Family Christmas party with our, like, annual friends' Christmas party that we had. So we combined it at that time for some reason.
Yeah, so it was a big party with gifts and giving and all that. So I had already had this planned. I had already spoken with, you know, my father. I told him that, hey, you know, I love Angie a lot. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, marrying her. And my father in his fashion was, his answer was, or his response was, who wants to marry you?
I can picture him saying that.
Yeah,
too.
Right. So, you know, my dad is a jokester. So, you know, he was just like, oh, I'm proud of you and everything like that. So, he's like, I'm happy. And it makes sense. Like, you know, she's a nice girl and good girl and everything like that. And she'd be good for you. So next step was to ask Angie's father or her parents. Now, because I'm quiet, it would look out of the norm if I were to just go and have a conversation with Angie's father or parents alone. And we spent pretty much every waking moment together, so she would know when I'm away and what I'm away for. So I ended up writing Angie's father a note, or actually both of her parents, a note. So you see the common theme. I used to like to write notes a lot and letters a lot. So it was basically me saying my intentions, you know, saying how much I love their daughter. And, you know, we've been through so much and she's the one I want to spend the rest of my life with. And basically asked for their blessing and told them my intentions. So fast forward to this Christmas party. Everyone's opening up the gifts and, you know, they're going through their Secret Santas. And then I just happened to just sneak away. Now, what Angie didn't know was that I brought a big-ass box.
A Belik Bayan box.
Well, for people who don't know that, who aren't Filipino, it's basically just a big-ass moving box is what it is. So ones that you would get at Home Depot or UPS store or something like that. So it's a big box that you can fit a body in. So I had pre-wrapped this box, you know, with wrapping paper, and I had cut the bottom out. So then I was able to get into the bottom of the box. There was one flap still remaining so I could sit down and hold some pressure on it so it wouldn't move. But I got inside that box and everyone in the other room saw it. So they knew what was going on. They knew I was in the box, but they knew not to say anything. So when they were done opening up their presents in the other room, Angie's brother said, hey, you know, you got one more present in here from me and mom and dad. And Angie's response was, oh my God, is it a car?
I didn't even notice you were gone.
Right. So that shows how much she cares about me. So she walks into the other room and he leads her to the box that I'm in. So they say, open it. So Angie starts opening the box and she is moving as slow as anyone could be opening a present. Everybody was looking at her just like, rip it open. What are you
doing? It was
doing?
Hard to open the box. It was taped. Like, I couldn't open it.
But see, she's not good at opening presents. See, she's not just enthusiastic about getting gifts and just opening it up. So
it's confused. I didn't know what I
so
what was
I'm
there.
In that box. And once she gets the wrapping paper off towards the top, there's a gap in the box. So I don't want her to see that I'm sitting here in this box. So I'm just, you know, hoping that she would just open the box, you know, as quick as you can. So one of our friends came over, helped her kind of rip it open a little bit. And then once I saw daylight and there was a crack, then I just burst through the box myself. I wasn't going to wait for her. So then out I pop, and then, you know, everybody's clapping and cheering and everything, and she still doesn't know what's going on. So then, you know, I grab her hands, and then I go into, you know, my little speech that I have for her, saying that I love her and she's the one that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And then I get down on one knee in the box, mind you. And then,
you were know, you?
Yeah, I was still in the box.
We have it on video.
I was pretty sure I was still.
But it's not clear anymore because this was.
It's an old video.
Like, yeah, 2007.
Yep. So I proposed and that was it. So we captured that on video and that was a great time. And I'm glad that we got to have the opportunity to save it and be able to view it over and over again, because that's one of those things that even though you might have a mental image in your mind, it's nice to just, you know, relive what actually did happen, because you might miss, you know, small details here and there. But yeah, we were engaged December 2007.
Yep. So we were engaged for a year and a half. So right when we got married, I think we both, that's when we both graduated, 2008. We graduated from college 2008. Had time to work, save up for our wedding, because then we got married June 20th, 2009.
Yep.
Which was nice because then it gave us time to save up. I mean, we didn't try to have a really expensive wedding, but gosh, like we didn't know that everything was going to be pricey. Like I didn't really care what type of flowers that I was going to have. I wasn't really picky with that and just picked regular roses. But you know, everything that we picked, vendors, it was like $1,000 each. So,
and like I'm the type of guy that I was looking at it all like, does it have to be like this? And of course, like, you know, for women, if it's been your dream since, you know, childhood, that this is how you want your wedding to go, of course you want them to be happy. But for me, I'm looking at it like, why would we spend all this money for one day that we aren't even going to get to enjoy? Because it's about entertaining your guests. Right. Like, this is for them. This isn't for us, because our part is done in the church. And, you know, really,
it could be done. We have a big ass party, which is the most expensive.
Right. It could be done in like 15 minutes, our part. And then the rest is just, you know,
just to celebrate.
Right. Allowing everybody else to drink and dance and eat. And I didn't even get to finish my meal at the reception.
Right, I do remember. It was really busy. I remember being really tired on the dance floor.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess that could be another episode, that way we can just talk about our wedding day and what we would have done differently.
Right? Yeah, that may end up being on Slap Happy Saturdays, I think. But yeah, so, you know, after we got married, you know, we had already had discussed children, you know, how many children that we did want.
Well, we always said four. To be honest with you, I didn't know we were actually going to have four.
But four was the plan, or was the number that we would be good at, or we could get to. But Angie really had the idea that she wanted to be married for like a year, just to enjoy married life and travel and all that stuff. And of course, I'm looking at it like, what do you need to enjoy about married life? We've already been together
basically
for
10 years,
right? 10 years. Like, what is different? I mean, dual
incomes. We didn't travel.
Dual incomes is great, but like, there's nothing new that, you know, it's gonna all of a sudden pop up. Be like, oh, hey, I need to learn some more about you. And like, no, you know a good amount about me already. Like, we've already been traveling, and you know, I was just like, why? Because then I wanted to be young enough where I could still do things with my kids, because, you know, my father was on the older side. So when I was born, I believe my father was 50. Yeah, he was 50 when I was born. So
he was a mistake baby.
I was.
An oopsie.
But they called me, what they say, they said I was a pleasant surprise for the longest time. And until I became an adult, did I understand what pleasant surprise actually meant. And I was just like, oh, my God.
You weren't planned.
Oh, my God. Because, yep, there's a reason why there is a 16-year gap and, what is it, 18 or 19-year gap between me and my two siblings. There's a big reason for that. So, but, yeah, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It was worth it because, you know, I had fun growing up kind of by myself. It was like I was the only child. So, I mean, I got everything that I wanted. You know, I got all the systems. I mean, Nintendo, Genesis, 32X, Super Nintendo, N64. I'm talking about all the systems. And then all the Jordans as well, too. So, you know, it may have made my brother a little bit hot. But that's, you know, that's how it goes. Like, you're the baby. The baby gets spoiled. That's just kind of how it goes. Even with our youngest, you know, he kind of gets away with a lot more than you know, his older siblings do. But, you know, that's how it is. So, but, yeah, Angie wanted to wait on having kids. And I was just like, nah, let's do it as fast as possible. But I met her halfway. So we were kind of, how far and was it?
So
I don't even think we found out
we were pregnant in December, the same year that we got married.
Right. So that didn't even last that long. That didn't go that far.
So it wasn't planned.
But it was.
But it just, we weren't trying to not get pregnant.
Right.
Or, yeah. So, you know, whatever happened. I wasn't on birth control. So, yeah, I think, you know, obviously I was late, took a pregnancy test, and I think you were at work.
Because
then
work.
I went, this was before I left for work, because I was working the 2-to-10 shift, and I took a pregnancy test, and then I remember calling you to let you know. And I just remember, though, that feeling was just so, like, surreal.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of the best feelings, just finding out that we were pregnant and that I was going to have a baby growing inside of me. It's really neat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because
we couldn't believe it.
Right, yeah, we had just gotten married, you know, a few months back, and now, you know, it just got real. Like, you know, we're about to be in charge of
a human child.
Right, a human life, and we have no prior experience to that. So, you know, anytime that you become a first-time parent, you know, it is life-changing, and it's a heavy load, you know, to take on, so... but it was great. Like, there's no other feeling of, you know, hearing and knowing that you're about to be a parent. So, yeah, like we said, we have 4 children and we knocked them all out. So,
right. 4. Well, I had 4 C-sections in 5 years.
Yeah. So she was pregnant for basically like 15 years straight. So she was always pregnant. Like, there was times that our friends would go on snowboarding trips and we just couldn't because she was pregnant again. Like, she was always pregnant.
And we never found out the sex of
the
baby.
Surprises.
So that was actually something I never thought that I would do. That was more of your plan.
Because
I'm a planner. So I, you know, I like to be organized, but I liked James' idea of not finding that out. So it was neat to have that surprise, you know, right then and there to find out if it was a boy or girl. So with each of them, we had to think of, you know, boy and girl names. And so we ended up having a boy and then 2 girls and then a boy.
Yep. So bookend boys. So, you know, the oldest, he is 9 years old. The second, she is 7. The third, she is 6. And then the youngest, he is 4. So they are paired up. So the oldest two, they're definitely 2 peas in the pod. And the youngest two, they are definitely 2 peas in the pod. And they oftentimes get mistaken for twins, both of them. So, but they're great, you know, because really after you have 2, it's pretty much the same thing over and over again. So the first is probably going to be the toughest. Then once you have the second, then you're already, you know, in that mode of being half asleep, half awake. So your clock is different now. You've already known what are the signs to look for and things that you're going to experience. So by the time you hit like 3, 4, 5, 6 kids, it's all the same. It's the same thing. And it got a little bit easier because then the younger two, they grew up quick because they had to adapt fast mm-hmm. in order to keep up with the older two.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit of advice for those of you who are new to parenting, is that, you know, if you're planning on having a lot of other kids, go for it, because it's going to be the same
thing. Just have them all at once.
Right.
Get them out of the way.
You don't want to start
early.
Over.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever do that.
Mm-mm.
That would just be hard, because then now, you know, we're out of diapers.
Yep.
And I would not.
Yep. Out of diapers.
It's so nice.
It's the greatest thing.
I would not want to have this time be out of diapers, and then all of a sudden we have another baby, and then now we're back to square one.
I mean, we'd be pros at it, but I mean.
But just changing diapers and having a diaper bag.
Yeah.
Lugging a stroller around, like all that shit, I don't miss at all.
Yeah, strollers are the worst. I am so glad that we didn't have, as soon as they could walk, that stroller was in the shed. Like, that was gone, so.
Bulky car seats, car carriers, like all that. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't miss at all. Yep. So much furniture and supplies and stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, dealing with us, you know, we have a busy schedule now. You know, we still were employed, at least Angie's still employed. So there's a lot going on with us having to try to find time to do everything. And with all the activities that we have with the kids going on, Angie, what? Tell everybody exactly what it is that you do still full time.
So I am a retail pharmacist at a grocery store. I'm the pharmacy manager. So I've been actually in a pharmacist for, let's see, I graduated 2008. So for 12 years. My store is 10 minutes from home, so it's nice, but I either work 8 to 4 or 2 to 10. And I work every third weekend, whereas James has a nicer work schedule now. What do you do now?
Yeah, now I do. But before, I've worked all types of odd jobs. Let me see. Starting with, I worked at McDonald's at 14. Then after McDonald's, I moved on to Walgreens. Then after Walgreens, then I moved on to Olive Garden. After Olive Garden, I moved on to Houlihan's to Circuit City while it was still functional. I left Houlihan's right before it closed down. Circuit City right before it closed down. And then that was around the time that I was graduating college. So then I ended up getting on with Menards, the home improvement place. And I was in their management trainee program for a while. And I had to get out of there. Like, I had no problem with doing manual labor whatsoever. It's just that, you know, when you graduate from school and you're told that, hey, you know, this piece of paper says that, you know, you're going to start at a certain level, or it gives you the leg up to be able to, you know, skip a couple of levels, and the position that you're working is easily obtainable by someone who just graduated high school, I think it was time for me to go. So then I just looked at that and said, all right, I'm out. So then after that, I actually moved on and got hired with a mortgage company. Now, mind you, this was all going on during 2008. So I started that mortgage company as a loan officer. Not even 30 days in, we got word that the company was going to start closing some of its underperforming branches, some in like Las Vegas and Oregon, other places like that. But it was noted that our branch was not going to close because we were high performers. So we heard this on a Monday. Tuesday comes in. There's this guy that we've never seen before in the conference room. So there's a conference meeting that's held. We all go to the conference room. So we all sit down and we're just like, who is this guy? What is he here for? So he starts by saying, as of today, blah, 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 is no longer in business. So then we're looking around at each other like, wait, does he mean just those branches that that we were told that we're underperforming, or does he mean the whole thing? And we asked, hey, do you mean the whole company? And he's like, yes, the whole company is ceasing operations. So not even a month in, I was part of the housing crisis and the housing crash back in 2008. So I was unemployed for about a good 6 or 7 months. Now, my brother had been working part-time for a limousine company, so he was able to actually get me on for part-time work during doing that. So I actually drove limousines for a good 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. Now, the stories I could tell you with driving limousines, you can only imagine. And yeah, you know, you do have the bachelor parties and the bachelorette parties, and being a limo driver would be a good job for someone who's single. So, right. Of course, remember that.
I was, did not like that.
Right. She did not. So, but I was good. I was good. I knew I knew what I was doing. But, you know, yeah, I got offers. I got offers during those bachelorette parties. They'd be like, hey, what time do you get off? I'm just like, no, thank you. But, yeah, I got to work. So I drove limos for about a good 3 or 4 months. Then after that, I had a friend that I had previously worked with at the restaurant that she worked in higher education. So she got me an interview with a for-profit school, online school. So I got on with them, was with them for about a good, I want to say 6 years or so. And then crisis happened with something called gainful employment, where the government was cracking down on these for-profit schools to make sure that they were actually giving degrees and that the people that were getting these degrees were actually employable, because a lot of these for-profit schools would give out, you know, certificates or diplomas that didn't mean anything and made the student unemployable, like it didn't make a difference. But they were collecting, you know, like $30,000 for an associate's degree. So people who are in the know, you should know that an associate's degree does not cost you $30,000, but that's how these for-profit schools operate. So there was a big crackdown, mass layoffs across the board, multiple schools. So I decided I wanted to get out before I became a number. I had no concerns about my work performance or anything like that, but I just wanted to get out to make sure that I still had some form of income. So I moved to a real traditional school, a brick and mortar school. So I was there for about a good 3 years. But when I went to the interview, they all asked the same general question of, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I tell them, well, if I'm still with the company, you know, I would like to climb the ranks as high as I can within the time period that I'm here. But ultimately, I would like to be in business for myself and own my own business. So this is something that I actually aspire to do for the longest time, because I always thought I would be a great person to work for. I know what employees want. I know what employees need. I know how to be a good boss. I know how to manage people. I know how to manage different personalities. I'm relatable. Like it made sense to me. So while I was at this new school, I actually was presented with the opportunity to start a business in home health. So fast forward to today, I am the president and owner of a home health agency. So that's what I do. So I actually quit that job at the school, and now I do this full time. Now, Angie is still working.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
I'm waiting for James to take me out.
And, you know, it's going to happen, and that's another conversation for later as well, too. But that's currently where we are, and dealing with all the stress that comes along with her having to, you know, deal with retail and, you know, all the troubles that come along with that, the lack of the availability of time, because she does work night shifts and she's gone the majority of the week. And, you know, it does seem like I'm a single dad to the kids at some points in time, because they always say, oh, I miss mom. And, you know, they see her every day. It's just that, you know, she's
only for maybe 2-3 hours.
Right. So, so that's just more, you know, stress that gets added into, you know, the relationship and everything that you have to learn how to maintain and to manage. But, you know, that's just what you got to do. You gotta take it in stride and work with it and make sure that you're able to, you know, keep progressing forward positively. So
now you're at home with our youngest.
Right.
While you get work done.
Right.
While I work.
Right. While she works. So, you know, and shout out to all the parents who are actually stay-at-home parents. It's not just a vacation. It is a full-time job. It is legit because, you know, I try to do the work for my business, but then, you know, it's just I get interrupted where I have to cook for
which
the
is nice, though, because right. Ever since you stopped working, well, working for someone else, that now I don't have to do any grocery shopping anymore, yeah. Which I hated. Yep. And I would be the one coming up with meals to cook, and I am not the best cook, so.
Yeah, so I do all the cooking now, so that's, and I actually enjoy it, so that's fun. So that's a compromise that, you know, we had to work between each other, and I'm fine with picking up that and doing that. But, you know, I guess the thing that we work towards trying to figure out the most is finding the time for each other, because of the hours that she now works and because of the kids' busy, you know, extracurricular, you know, schedule. We have to figure out when can we make time for each other. So one of the times would actually be right now. So we're taping this. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. So our
which is our normal time that we're awake, that we're night owls, so right. We like to stay up at night.
Right. So like everybody's day ends or they go to sleep at around 8:30, 9 o'clock. No, that's just when our night starts. Right. So that's when we actually get time back to do things that we need to do.
And you know, a lot of, and this is also something we'll get into in future episodes, but a lot of parents don't have a set bedtime for their kids. And that's not something we can't have.
Like, no, they need to be
right. We
heads
have,
in beds.
Right. So normally they're in bed by 9. And then after 9, that's just something that James and I look forward to because that's our time together, just to spend time with each other, watch TV, just sit down, be on our phones, whatever it may be. But at least it's without the kids screaming at each other and calling us.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so that's what we're working on. And that's what we continue to build within our relationship is just finding that time for each other because that is important. But we will definitely get to that in later episodes. So that was just our introductory episode. You know, we wanted to let you know a little bit about us, who we are, and what you're going to expect when you're listening to our podcast. So we're going to sign off for now, and we're going to talk to you later. But in the meantime, this is James and Angie reminding you that communication is the key.
So never lock each other out.
And keep the door open forever. Ever. Peace. Never seems that long until you're grown.